The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I had an episode a couple of weeks ago in which I talked about how one thing that all Bulls fans want is this team to get back to actually being a competitive team, having a team that is representative of its fan base. And, you know, I also said in that time period that the one thing that we all have in common is that Bulls fans aren't the reason why the Bulls franchise is where it currently is. But some of your guys in some of these thoughts kind of support the kind of mindset that ownership has put forth. And today we're going to debunk a couple of those things while also looking at a draft prospect. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes. More importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into it. And so I got a couple of things that I want to talk about, right? Bulls fans are playing right into the hands of exactly what Jerry Reinsdorf wants in some instances. And we're going to talk about a few of those on today's episode. The first one that I want to talk about is any Bulls fan that tells you with a straight face. And the thing with me is that I always have a hard time because, you know, I do this podcast. We're here daily. I don't know how many of the comments that are in the YouTube videos are like actual thoughts that Bulls fans are having around the world. But we got to debunk this one first. If you're a Bulls fan and you're literally thinking that the Bulls should draft Bronny James to get LeBron James here in this building, I got to sit here and tell you, are you a secret agent for the Reinsdorfs? Because that is exactly a type of Jerry Reinsdorfian move that would completely pull the wool over the eyes of the Chicago Bulls, add no long-term future at all. While we're doing these draft player profiles, you know what? The people who say the Bulls should draft Bronny James, like I said, if this is only a small snapshot, there's been a lot of comments on the YouTube channel. I got to ask you guys, what brand of marijuana are you smoking? Just what? I would really like to know, because I want to know what brand I need to stay away from, what strain that is. Because if you really think legitimately that adding LeBron, drafting Bronny with the 11th overall pick to get LeBron James here is a smart move, I got to ask you guys, what are you smoking? I really got it. That's really what it comes down to. Do you know what that would really do to the Bulls franchise? I don't care that it's a weaker draft. I don't give a shit about that. You still can find talent in this draft. And that's another thing. Guys, you got to stop allowing so much of the actual national media conversation to steer you from doing some of your own research. When people say that this is a weaker draft, it just means with superstar level talent, there are still some damn good players in this draft. Everybody kind of, well, this is a weak draft, so we could just do it. No, it's not a weak draft in the fact of that there's no good players in this draft. When you talk about drafting LeBronny James at number 11 and your goal is to bring in LeBron James to this team, if that's what you think is a smart move for the future of this franchise, what are you smoking? What are you smoking? That is what Jerry Reinsdorf would do to sell tickets. He's going to sell a lot of tickets. A lot of tickets are going to be sold. The press tour would be great. All that type of thing, but the longevity of actually fixing a franchise, that does not bring any of that. LeBron James couldn't drag a team with Anthony Davis having his best and healthiest year, a defensive player of the year type season from Anthony Davis. They couldn't get anywhere in the playoffs, and that's what you think is going to come save this Chicago Bulls franchise? That's what you really, I'm telling you guys right now. If you guys seriously think that, I hope that it's just comments being left on YouTube, because if you seriously think that, you guys got to stop smoking. Then the DeMar DeRozan, the attachment to DeMar DeRozan. Let me be clear here. Keeping DeMar DeRozan on the right deal is great, right? It's great. What he's been there, I've said it before. DeMar's play has earned another contract. does not necessarily mean that he needs to be with the Chicago Bulls. And the people that keep using the fact of, well, keeping DeMar is great for the growth of the young players. Let me ask you this, right? I'm going to present this to you, right? And again, keep this in mind. This is a guy who I actually like, DeMar DeRozan, and would keep him if he's willing to stay for a friendlier team contract. But the fact that he already turned down $40 million and his max, I think, is $45 million, I think that kind of tells you where it's going to be. But if we're talking about the growth of the young players being a reason why you keep DeMar, because that's why I see a lot of you people quoting. Let's put this into perspective, right? The two players that DeMar DeRozan has pulled under his wings the most have been Patrick Williams and Dalen Terry. Yes, during the season, he's mentored IO, things like that. I'm sure he's done some things for Kobe White as well. But the players that have worked with him in the offseason the most have been Patrick Williams and Dalen Terry. The same two players that were still are two of the biggest question marks of the young players that we have here on this team. So what growth and development is he really helping, right? Like I said, he helps on the court. Absolutely. He helps with that. And you can't take away from that. But if you're really doing it, and we've been told this multiple times by multiple different sources, most of a player's growth is done in the offseason. During the season, they get in shoot-arounds. They don't really get practice in. Yes, you have the player development department now that's there to kind of help work. You know, IO's talked about that a lot, as how Peter Patton has sent him good shots versus bad shots, quicker releases, things like that. Again, the player development department. But if you talk about the players that he has taken the most under his wing, that he is, like, he called Dalen Terry his son, right? Saying that he talks to his daughter and say, yeah, tell your older brother this. These are two of the players that have the biggest question marks left on them. The biggest question marks. So again, stop playing into the mindset of ownership, right? That I like DeMar. I don't love DeMar DeRozan. I don't really love too many players on this team because we ain't won shit. So don't take that as a slight just to DeMar. But like, we got to start. What are we really saying here? What are really the results of what we're saying? It sounds great to say, yeah, a player is there. Great. They're great for the growth of the young players. How? Where? You show me this. Where? Right? Because if we're talking about the reality of the players that have worked with DeMar DeRozan in the offseason, Patrick Williams and Dalen Terry are two of the biggest question marks that we still have left on this team. The two players that have stepped up the most recently in Kobe and Io, those are two players. Io DeSumo, who stayed in Chicago last year, was one of the first players to be worked heavily with the new player development department that's ran by Peter Patton. Kobe White, who Kobe every offseason has had his own coaches, worked with Dribble Too Much, gone and worked with his own guy, right? That's what has happened. Again, this is not a slight of DeMar as a person. DeMar is a great guy. Great guy. Great human being. You know, I like DeMar, all those type of things. But let's be clear here. For the Bulls players that are literally saying things like, we can't let DeMar go. What are we doing? We gotta absolutely keep DeMar. We have to pay DeMar whatever he wants. Where? This is the exact type of mindset that ownership has that pulls the wolves over Bulls fans' eyes that lead us to going nowhere. And that is the thing with Bulls fans and what I've said about the front office, but some of you Bulls fans do the same type of thing. You got to stop being terrified to let some shit go to eventually get better. And that includes people like DeMar DeRozan. Hell, I've had to say it to myself about Alex Caruso. I love Alex. Now, Alex Caruso is a player that I love, right? I love Alex Caruso. But if the Bulls can get two first-round picks back for Alex Caruso while he's on the last year of an expiring deal, you got to explore it, right? You have to explore it. So again, right, we got to stop the attachment to the same type of stuff that ownership uses to keep not pulling tricks. Like, we got to stop keeping ourselves from taking any type of long-term fixes for this team and going through the trials and tribulations to wind up right back where the hell we are, right? Where the hell we are. All that just leads us to the same exact place, competing and never getting better. The people that want to hold on to DeMar and don't realize that, and like I said before, against my own point, right, that the Bulls weren't too far from being a bottom 10 team this season. So maybe if they keep DeMar, they are bottom 10 next season, and then they end up keeping their own pick. There's a world in which that happens. We'll see what goes down with that. But DeMar ain't untouchable. If you think DeMar should be untouchable because of the mentorship for young players, come on, man. You got to wake up. And you got to stop smoking dicks. Like, you really got to, man. It's confusing. It's really confusing. 2025 draft is the next time the Bulls have a chance at truly franchise-altering talent. The next time we truly have that. But again, the attachment to certain things, that's what ownership is trying to play off on, right? To lead us to exactly being exactly where we are, competing for a bunch of crap. And then the same thing about you, Zach LaVine, guys. And get it. Let me say this, right? The writing is on the wall for Zach LaVine. And that's the part that we all got to come to grips with. This front office is focused on moving Zach LaVine. Does it mean they'll be successful? We'll see, right? But the people, like, Zach LaVine is not to blame for where the Bulls are right now. He's not the sole reason to blame. Anybody who really thinks that, you're following narratives too much. But just because he's not the reason to blame why we are right here does not mean that the front office, he's not to blame for that. But that doesn't mean that the front office is gonna look to keep him. And you got to come to that realization as well, that it may just not happen. It's just probably not going to happen. And that just kind of is where it is when it comes down to Zach LaVine, is that LaVine, through the combination of whatever happened with Billy Donovan to Zach LaVine's mindset to this front office, looking at it and saying, hey, we right up against the luxury tax. We got to do something. The writing is on the wall that Zach LaVine is probably not going to be a Chicago Bull next season if this front office has their way. And get this, like I've said before, the hope that we're going to get some type of superstar level talent back or star level talent back in the Zach LaVine trade, it's not happening, people. It's not happening. It's not going down. I can tell you that right now. It's not happening. So, and I'm not saying all these things that I just listed off all need to happen or not happen this offseason, but we got to come to some realization. If we truly want change, we got to stop.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Attaching ourselves to the things that are going to keep this franchise from making the exact type of actual changes that we want to be made with this franchise. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. And I get it. We've had so few things to really want to attach ourselves to over the last almost 8 years, right? We haven't had a whole lot, hell of a lot, that we just want and look at and say, we want to attach ourselves as a fan base to this thing. But we got to realize that where this thing is now and where this front office, and it's a problem by the front office too, right? Let me make it clear here. This is the front office. They have pieces that the fact is, should they have been able to build around some of these pieces that we have here now? Yeah. If they were smarter about their moves, yes. Had they made different Jazz selections? Yes. Had they been smarter with money? Yes. Right? So this still is all a fail on the front office's face, ultimately. But you got to get to a place where we got to realize, man, that the success that we want isn't in attaching ourselves to a whole lot of things that have been behind us. It's about trying to forge a new future with what's coming here and what can be a part going forward. And it's just, I just see so many people, so many Bulls fans. And like I said, like, I don't clamor or claim to have all the answers here. I don't. If I did, I'd be in the front office. But at some point, you just got to make the tough decisions. The great front offices, the good front offices that actually build winning programs, they don't have those attachments. And we got to stop it as fans as well, in my opinion. But with that said, you guys know I've been going over some of the draft prospects that I did not cover earlier in the draft. And one that I want to cover today is Deron Holmes. Now, this is a guy that Pat the Designer actually brought up as well. This is another guy who kind of is more of a throwback to old center, right? He's gotten comparisons to Nick Claxton and Jalen Smith. For those, I know there are some Bulls players that do like those type of centers here as well. He can hit, he can block shots, he can finish on lobs. He has the ability to switch kind of like more modern day centers. And this is a guy as well, when you look at his collegiate stats, like this is a guy that balled out in college, right? So you got to ask yourself, like, if the Bulls are going to try to go a big in this draft, right? And a guy like Deron Holmes is there. Now, I think there are kind of more modern type bigs that are in this draft that can kind of fit in more with what the Bulls do. But Deron Holmes, 20.4 points per game last season on 54% shooting, 8.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists. One thing that you don't see a lot with him is like steals that are some of the more modern centers get, but still 2.1 blocks per game last season. As a matter of fact, he had 2.1 blocks for his collegiate career over 3 years. That's major as far as when you're looking at rim protection as well. He went to Dayton. That's why you don't get a whole lot of the kind of talk around him as with some of the other centers in this draft. But this is a guy who does shape up to be able to play power forward or center at the next level, depending on what the makeup of your team is. But this is a guy who could be a reach for the Chicago Bulls if they were to draft him at number, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be if. It would be a huge reach for the Bulls. The thing that you got to look at for as well for him is that, A, he grew almost, what, I think, 3 inches from his high school senior year into where he is now. He's around 230 pounds, so he has that. He really has that NBA-ready body now. He's going to add on the couple of pounds of muscle that every NBA player does. Complete, really long wingspan as well. Over 7 foot wingspan and being 6'10", right at 6'10". Shot blocking is his best defensive skill. This dude can absolutely has the timing and everything to block shots at the NBA level. He gets there as a weak side defender. He gets there as well. He keeps his head. He always looks and surveys the field. Really smart player as well. That's why he gets so many blocks, the timing and all of the things there. On the offensive side of the ball, he's really good at setting screens. He cuts to the rim really well, runs to the rim. Like I said, finishes on lobs really good. He boxes out on top of all those things as well. And then after the defensive stops, he sprints up the floor. He can run with the Ayo Dosunmus. He can run with the Kobe Whites to get out in transition. That's really something that I would like, that I like in theoretically with this. And he's not a terrible three-point shooter, right? Only 38% from the field with 2.5 attempts. And like I've said before, you don't necessarily need your center, even in a modern-style offense, to be this volume three-point shooter. But it helps when they can hit open three-pointers, because especially as a trailer, since he does run the court well, that he's going to maybe get some of those opportunities as a trailer at the three. And because of that, when you look at it, 14% three-point shooter his freshman year, 31% his sophomore year, and then as a junior, 38% from the field, taking the most three-pointers per game. So he has some of that upside as well as a solid enough three-point shooter that you can look at him. Pick-and-roll finisher, really good in that aspect of it as well. So he's good on that point in time. He can operate in the zone defense. This dude has a lot of really good skills that you're looking for at the next level in the NBA. Now, some of the negatives around him. Of course, because he went to a smaller school, you don't necessarily know how he stacks up against some of the better competition. Now, that's going to come through the draft combine competitions when teams work him out, things like that. They'll take a look at that. He could end up being a steal in this draft just because he went to a smaller school and he didn't play against some of that better competition. But there's some of that questionability about him as well. So you got to look at that. And then also turnovers. Turnovers are also a big thing for him, but a lot of big men kind of at that age and experience level have those turnovers as well. Not a great passer. So, you know, you would want solid point guard play. You guys know I like my forwards and centers to be able to pass in the modern NBA. Those are some things as well, and he's not the best dribbler at all. He can be a little bit robotic when it comes to the dribbling aspect of it, and he's right-hand dominant, which, you know, it could lead to him kind of having some issues really getting the ball and being able to even get to the post at the next level as well. So, you know, the question about his shooting, right, because he had 1 year of shooting threes at a decent level, even mid-range shots, you got to worry about that if it's an outlier, if it's something that can be really a part of his game. But overall, Daron Holmes is somebody who, as some of the players, one of the players that I have not talked a whole hell of a lot about, somebody who I'm kind of surprised more people haven't brought him up, because he is somebody who projects to be that power forward center, maybe combo. He is small at 6'10". And I know a lot of Bulls fans, they don't want to see anymore. They label 6'10 as small ball, and I can understand that. The wingspan maybe can help him, kind of like how Bam is a shorter center, but the wingspan is a physicality, helps him play the center position at the NBA level. Daron Holmes could be that as well. So, you know, but this is a guy who, in me watching his tape, I kind of like him more and more the more tape that I watch from him. But this is another reason why I really, you know, the Bulls picking at number 11, I kind of want to go more high upside there. But maybe the Bulls do trade back in a draft like this. Maybe pick up a second round pick or something like that. If they do it, Daron Holmes is somebody who absolutely could be on their board. Or if they do pick up a lower first round pick in a Zach LaVine trade or Alex Caruso trade or something that they do this offseason, maybe it could lead to that type of thing. So Daron Holmes, though, is a center that I overall like his game. Has some glaring problems there, but I overall like his game, and I like where he's coming from as well. And he has tons of potential at the NBA level, and I would not be surprised if that, you know, he gets picked in the 20s somewhere, and the teams end up looking back on it. There are a lot of players in this draft that are going to go lower that are probably going to be the ones that stick around in the NBA the longest. And Daron Holmes, maybe is how you pronounce it, is a guy that I really do think could be one of those guys that we look back and say, hey, they got him low in the first, But he's a guy that is producing, and he's going to stick around in the NBA for a very long time. I would not be surprised at all because of that. And let me know what you guys think on Daron Holmes and kind of his potential and seeing his tape and what you guys think of him as a player. Let me know all that, as always, down below. Before we go, I want to talk about the All-NBA first team that was announced before we go as well. No Bulls on the list at all. Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, and Jason Tatum are your All-NBA first teams as well. Due to Jokic and Shai getting voted unanimously as well. 99 ballots cast. They were voted on that as well. Shai is about to get paid off this deal as well. The second team was Jalen Brunson, AD, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard as well was your All-NBA second team. And then All-NBA third team is Devin Booker, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Domantas Sabonis, and Tyrese Halliburton as well on that third team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander now is eligible to sign a four-year extension worth $294 million due to him him being named to an All-NBA team. $65 million in 1 year, and he make his way up to $81 million in year five on that deal if he ends up signing that. That's a crazy deal. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I think is going to win an MVP sooner rather than later, may be worth every single bit of that as well, man. And then Anthony Edwards as well, you know, with what he's doing with the Timberwolves, you know, he can now get a deal worth $245 million up from his $205 million deal. So, listen, people are about to get paid. No Bulls on this list at all. DeMar DeRozan, I think he got one third place vote. But, you know, it is what it is when it comes down to it. Let's hope that at some point we get more Bulls on this list, or a Bull on this list at some point. Let's hope that we can do that, guys. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.